Good evening and welcome to the Buck Stops here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, our poll of exit polls to give you, we hope, a relatively clear idea of who is winning the elections in five states: Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Puducherry, Assam and West Bengal. What does it mean at the state level? What is the bigger national picture here? On this show, quick reactions from key state players as we try and understand what these polls indicate. We also have our panel of experts here in the studio. Remember, we are not doing a poll of our own. Exit polls have proven to be massively inaccurate in the past. And so we are bringing you the results of others' polls and averaging out the results, giving you an idea of just what may well be the results. All right, so here's the big story. Across these states, to give you a big idea. First, let's take a look at Assam. And here's the big picture. Now, we're averaging this out. This is a poll of exit polls. The BJP and its allies at 74. The Congress down to 34. A huge setback for the Congress. The AIUDF at 13. Others at 5. The total number of seats, 126. The projection seems clear over here that the Congress is not going to do well this time. It's going to be the BJP and its allies that are going to come out strong. Let's move to West Bengal. But there are no surprises over here. It's the Trinamool Congress at 179 of 294, which is the projection. The left in the Congress at 109. The BJP at 3. So the BJP seems to be opening its account, but nothing terribly significant in terms of having an impact on these elections. Others 3. Kerala. Again, it seems that the back and forth between the LDF and the UDF seems to be continuing. 140 seats. The UDF at 50. The LDF projected at 86. BJP and its allies at 2 and others 2. So the sense that the BJP might end up being a kingmaker in Kerala if the LDF and the UDF were close by, that doesn't seem to be the indicator if those trends in Kerala are the case. Tamil Nadu, the AIADMK at 110. And now here, this is interesting. The DMK and its allies at 109. Now, this news is changing over the last 15 minutes or so. That's because there are fresh polls, exit polls that are coming in. So the sense that the DMK and the Congress were set to actually win in the state of Tamil Nadu, that doesn't seem to be the case. It's the AIADMK that's won ahead. So it's difficult. And let's finally pull up Puducherry if we can. There we have it, 18. To the DMK, so no surprise there. With the exception of 2011, if I'm not mistaken, it's the DMK has broadly, Puducherry has broadly followed the trend of what is happening in Tamil Nadu. Now, in Tamil Nadu, it is a bit confusing at this stage, it needs to be said. It's one seat, which is the gap between the DMK and the AIA. It's fascinating. It's always impossible to predict Tamil Nadu. So that's the broader picture right now. But we're going to go straight across now and turn our attention to the state of Assam. We're joined now by Gaurav Gogoi, who joins us at this stage, and Chandan Mitra as well. And we've got our panelists over here, Manishankar Iyer, Shishadri Chari, Siddharth Bhadrajan, and Mr. Basu over here. Thanks very much, all of you, for being with us. Gaurav, let me come to you first. The numbers aren't looking very encouraging for you. 33 out of 126. It's been three terms for the Congress in Assam. Do you believe that this sort of result was perhaps inevitable?
Well, going for a fourth term, Vishnu, is extremely difficult. The results which are being predicted by the exit polls don't seem to match with our own internal polls. Our own internal polls show Congress to be the single largest party, will do quite well, and we're all set to form the fourth government on the 19th. So as of now, I feel that the Congress is going to do well in Assam. With its alliance, will do better in West Bengal, Tamil Nadu and Kerala as well.
You know, Gaurav, as I speak, we're getting a fresh revised update of the poll of polls. It's down for the BJP from 81 to 73. It's up for the Congress from 33 to 37. I'm just waiting to get the number of the AIUDF is 12, and therefore others are 4. All right, so let's go with these revised numbers. I'm going to repeat these numbers. Another poll has come in, so we've averaged it out. Assam, as of now, stands at the BJP plus BJP and its allies at 73, the Congress at 37, the AIUDF at 12, and others at 4. So a marginal gain, but Gaurav, it seems that you aren't doing very well. So what would you just put this down to anti-incumbency, or would you accept that there has been a substantial switch? Bodo's, for example, moving across to the BJP, the large Hindu community in Assam sticking with the BJP. What about the Tea Garden workers switching from the Congress to the BJP? Are these all factors that have gone against you, Gaurav?
Well, 2 points, Vishnu. First of all, Assam is a very complicated state with various ethnic and religious and language communities. So it's extremely hard to predict from district to district the profile changes. Secondly, if you remember the 2014 Lok Sabha polls, BJP on its own had won close to 60 assembly constituencies on its own. Today, even if you go by the exit polls, BJP has received a massive setback and is on its own, I'm assuming, will see a massive reduction in the seats that it has won.
And why would it be a massive reduction? That doesn't seem to be the case at all.
Sub-regional allies.
Gaurav, that doesn't seem to be the case at all. But Chandan Mitra, coming over here.
If you're looking at the numbers, you're showing a BJP and its allies. There are two other allies. We are not able to discriminate between the BJP and its allies, the assumption is that it's the BJP, which would be the
Chandan Mitra, would you like to react to this? 73, that's the latest average, is an exceptionally encouraging result for you. 73 out of 126, you appear to be set to come to power. Is this in line with your expectations, or better perhaps than what you'd expected?
Well, yes, I think it's slightly better than expected. We were all expecting that to come to power in Assam with our allies, and the allies are significant allies, the AGP and the BPF, they are important regional parties, and with their in their alliance, but the BJP is the major party. Without the BJP, the alliance would have meant nothing. But we are glad that the people of Assam will finally get a nationalist government, and a government which is takes into account the diversity of the Northeast and of the people of Assam. I think the writing was on the wall ever since the Lok Sabha election, when the BJP won 7 of the 14 seats, and thereafter the BJP has consolidated. My young friend Mr. Gaurav Gogoi may try to console himself by saying, well, BJP on its own won more seats in the Lok Sabha, but maybe in the assembly constituencies, but doesn't matter. A win is a win. A miss is as good as a mile. I mean, therefore, Assam, for the first time, the Congress is being dislodged, and as I said, a nationalist government is about to take office if the exact exit poll results are true.
Gaurav, be honest with us. Is there a sense of despondency at your home today? Your father, 81 years old, he has been a veteran, a maverick for the Congress party for so many terms. Is there a sense that as far as the Congress party is concerned, all good things have to come to an end? And now, it was unrealistic to expect, given the dynamics, given the rise of so many opposition players, certainly the BJP, of Tarun Gogoi coming back for a fourth term as chief minister. What's happening at your house this evening as these results are coming in?
Vishnu, the answer is that we are still optimistic. The Congress party is still optimistic. The feedback that we have got from our party workers, the feedback that we have got from our MLAs, is that the Congress will do exceedingly well, even though that's going for our fourth term. Now, coming back to Chandan Mitra ji's answer, you saw in his answer his own surprise. As per BJP's own internal analysis, they don't expect these results. Now, I trust BJP's own party sources have told them that do not expect the kind of results that these exit polls are showing. Whereas we are also strongly focusing on the sources that we have got from our party, and which we are very confident of forming a fourth term government. largely because in the last 2 years, the kind of policies that have been pushed by the center have been detrimental to the economic
growth. Okay, well, we'll see, Gaurav. We'll see what happens. It does seem your critics would say that you're clutching to very little at this stage.
Industrial investment promotion.
Sheshadri Chari, one of the key points in favor of the BJP, a lot of people would say, is Sarbananda Sonowal, the sports minister at the center, but now being projected as the likely chief ministerial candidate. The BJP put in a great deal of effort as far as the state is concerned. Mr. Mitra, I'm just asking Sheshadri Chari this question. His impact as a local person, from Assam.
Short observation that this has not come as a surprise to the BJP, as Mr. Gaurav Gogoi is trying to
say. Alright, not a surprise to the BJP.
We were confident of winning all along.
I take that point, sir. His role, Sonowal, as a local person from Assam and a leader of the BJP, a face of the BJP, how much is a factor in this win? Should it be a win? Would the Sonowal factor have been?
Certainly, a local face would always be better as far as a state like Assam is concerned. I don't think Assam is a very complicated state. Assam alone is not a very complicated state. For that matter, every state in India has its own complexities as far as elections are concerned. So every political party has to take into consideration all these complexities. So in that, Assam also was one of the case history. So the BJP very consciously took a decision that instead of going in as a party without a face, it would be better if we go for a election with a local face. So we got a very good candidate, so we have suggested that, and I think that's working very well. But that is not the only factor. The most important factor here is the total lack of a new narrative on the part of the Congress party. Mr. Tarun Gogoi faced a huge dissension within his own party, and for the last 2 years, it's not just last 6 months, but the last 2 years, he has not been able to manage the dissension. For whatever reason.
And would you say that is the reason
infighting within the Congress has contributed very largely to a huge desertion from the Congress. And it's
directly
not
to
just not a leadership, but a big chunk of voters who did not see anything coming from the Congress table have moved over to the BJP.
Manishankar Iyer, assuming that this is all correct, I need to keep saying that because we might all be talking rubbish at this stage. One hopes that it is actually the way it's turning out to be. The national picture for the Congress, assuming that these results are correct, you're losing Assam. Assuming it's the AIADMK that comes to power in Kerala, I use the word assuming.
It's not in Kerala.
In Tamil Nadu. And as far as Kerala is concerned, it's the LDF which is projected to win. What would, again, it's a hypothetical question, apologies for that, but it's a very strong possibility. What then is the national picture for the Congress?
It changes something, it doesn't change anything fundamentally. We are a party with only 44 or 45 seats in the Lok Sabha. That is the existential reality. And what we are attempting to do is to rise from that. Assam is the exception from the method that we had thought of. For if in Assam, the Congress had gone with the AIUDF, if they had actually been together rather than separated, I think the total number of seats that the two would have got together would have been importantly higher than what they have now got separately.
It would have been 73-49.
Well, that's mathematical. If we'd actually fought the election together, there would have been more.
Yes.
So I think the idea that was evolved in Bihar, that the non-BJP forces should get together, was a factor that was not taken into account in fighting the Assam election.
Yeah.
The expectation was that the record of the Gogoi government, which is really pretty good, and the fact that the BJP talks about a right to return for Hindus who are coming out of Bangladesh, whereas in fact a lot of the land and the property and things that are alleged to have been taken away from Assamese have been taken away by Bangladeshi Hindus. It's not just Bangladeshi Muslims. And the prospect of this issue becoming a communal issue, in the sense of being, if you're an Assamese Muslim, then you're not quite au fait, and if you're an Assamese Hindu, you're okay. These kinds of things are worrying for the future. But if your indications particularly in the case of Assam, mm-hmm. are tending in the right direction. I would endorse what Gaurav said, because I spoke to Tarun only a few days ago, and he was very confident, as he has been since February when I first interacted with him on this, that he would come back. So there is just that one hope. But if, as you say, you're asking me to base my answer on your assumptions, it would appear that the Congress is going to lose Assam. But the trend showing, you know, if we do get together, then things get better, then maybe it is the Gathbandhan idea that should be spread all over the country.
Okay, I want to quickly move on now. Let's shift our focus, our attention to Kerala. And here are the latest numbers. Let's play out those numbers once again. The new average coming out in our poll of polls is 80 for the LDF, the UDF 57, the BJP 2, others 1. Now, this has changed again in the last 15, 20 minutes or so. Since this program actually started, something new has come in terms of a poll. It was LDF 94, UDF 43. It's gone down for the LDF, but it's still a comfortable majority. 80 out of 140 for the LDF, UDF 57. So the gap is much larger than it's been in the past. Perhaps the BJP 2 and others 1. Let's just get some quick reactions. Jake Thomas, the senior LDF leader, joins us now. Mr. Thomas, if this is correct, then, you know, it's a very substantial win for you, and the margin of victory would be much more than perhaps a lot of people in your party would have expected. It's been much closer in the past. Would you say that this margin, which is being projected right now, is larger than your expectations, bigger than your expectations?
No, the left front in Kerala is going to have a stunning victory with 100 plus seats.
100 plus seats. You can forget the election rhetoric now. Yeah. The polling has already taken place. Realistically, sir, 80 is still, it's still very strong. 80 out of 140 is very, very strong. Aren't you satisfied with this projection?
No, because other than even the last local body elections, the left front had a standing victory, but now the political scenario is much more positive for the left front to have a more standing victory like the last legislative assembly when Comrade V.S. Achyutanandan came to power in Kerala.
All right, you contested against Uman Chandy. Is it safe for me to ask you what you think your own prospects are?
Sorry?
Do you think you're going to defeat Uman Chandy?
Yeah, because apart from the last 10 times or for the past 45 years, Uman Chandy is continuously representing the Puthupally constituency, and for the last 5 years he is the CM. And apart from the last 45 years and the last 5 years, the people of the Kerala, not only the Kerala but also the people of Puthupally, is witnessing a new phase, because the Kerala has witnessed the highest number of scams and corruptions under the chief ministership of Uman Chandy, and most probably the old Kerala has witnessed the vital role of CM or his office in all these scams and corruptions.
Would you say, sir, that is the real factor, that as far as Kerala is concerned, it was the various scams which have broken out in the UDF, which would be a decisive factor in terms of the LDF potentially coming to power? The big factor, scams and corruption.
You see, that is definitely a major factor, but in any case, because there the battle lines are more sharply drawn, the question of policies, the kind of policies that had been pursued by, because we had successfully addressed the question of agrarian crisis during the earlier government, but during this period, generally, we have seen an acceleration in the impact of the agrarian crisis on the peasantry, and it was hardly addressed by the government. So, similarly, the question of traditional industries, for example, cashew, coir, I mean, people have been facing a lot of problems and which have not been sensitively addressed by the UDF government. So, there are many factors. And particularly among the youth, there is a resurgence of the left. You have just seen, Jack, We had put him up against Oman Jundi.
He's 26 and, years old.
Yeah. He is the youngest of them all and many other young candidates. And if you have followed the campaign of the LDF, it was youth all over. And I think overall, we should be actually doing much better than what you are projecting.
Okay. Siddharth, a lot of people would have said that the BJP would be somewhat more of a factor in Kerala than these numbers indicate. Some others actually went to the extent that they could even be in a kingmaker's position if the numbers between the LDF and the UDF were very close. But these numbers indicate that, in fact, it's not that close. The BJP is projected to open its account with just two. So that's not really worked out. Neither has that that effort to reach out to the Edawa Hindu community as part of their alliance. That doesn't seem to have worked out as well.
But we don't know, right? Because the fact that they've opened their account is significant, if this poll is correct.
Yep.
We don't know the vote percentage. So it's quite possible that the BJP may have polled reasonably well in terms of vote share and hence destroyed, hurt the UDF and helped LDF. You know, and in a way, this is a good outcome because if I was BJP or if you were a BJP leader, do you really want to be kingmaker and be forced to choose between supporting a UDF or an LDF?
But the UDF wouldn't choose the BJP either.
Well, I'm saying it would be an unhappy and horrible situation for the BJP to be in. This way, they have established their presence, which is significant in the long term, and shown that they are able to generate swings. You know, they're able to generate swings and hurt a candidate. But, you know, in the long run, the BJP will have to moderate its Hindutva position because the kind of politics, divisive politics, which sometimes works for the BJP in elsewhere in India, I don't think in Kerala is going to pay it dividends or let it grow beyond whatever it's able to do.
Mr. Mitra, the statement made by the Prime Minister recently comparing Kerala with Somalia, the fact that hurt sentiments on the ground, there were all sorts of hashtags on Twitter going around. Is that something, would you accept that, you know, that's not worked in your favor at all with these elections being played out?
No. Well, the Prime Minister's comment was very widely and deliberately misread. The Prime Minister didn't compare the whole of Kerala to Somalia. He only said that the infant mortality rate and malnutrition in certain parts of Kerala were as bad as Somalia. Now, this is a statistical truth, but it was deliberately twisted and it was said as if the Prime Minister intended to insult the Keralites, who, of course, everybody knows are very enterprising people, very intelligent people, and the question of the Prime Minister insulting them did not arise at all. So, I don't think that it has caused
the
BJP anything. People see through these kind
of
things.
And sometimes you're at the receiving end as well, but go ahead, sir.
No, my good friend Mr. Mitra was saying that he went to the micro of Kerala, but we expect a national leader and that to the Prime Minister of the country to talk about the problems and the challenges facing the state. And he should actually charge Mr. Amit Shah, who is the president of that party, because he did the worst foot in the mouth phenomena when showed outlook, I mean, which is a story about Sri Lanka and attributing to Attapadi in Kerala. Now, I don't know whether Mr. Mitra has followed that. So, if anybody is giving credence to that kind of a foot out, in the mouth statement, it is the president of his party.
Chandan Mitra, do you want to respond to that very briefly before we move on to Tamil Nadu?
No, I think there's nothing to respond to this. During elections, many things are said and they should not be taken too seriously. They don't determine the outcome of elections.
Anyway, I think these statements did not really make a big
Vishnu
impact.
Also made a huge error in Assam with respect to Assam's own history. So I think this is a disease afflicting the BJP, especially when it comes to election campaigns.
But if it's a disease, in the case of Assam, Gaurav, it's a disease which seems to be
but still
not a disease already. Yes,
could have contributed.
Mr. Chari, yes.
You know, what is more important is what statements the leader has made.
I would humbly request, before you send the party president to campaign anywhere in the state, he should research on the state's history, not get mixed up with Ahum King Sukhafa and confuse it with Mughals. not know what kind of state public services are being offered. It is insulting, and please do not treat it lightly.
Thank you for your gratuitous advice.
All right, Gaurav and Mr. Mitra, can you just pause for a moment? Mr. Seshadri Chari has been interrupted twice. Let's not do our usual tutu meme right now. Mr. Chari, you'll have to raise your voice a little bit.
It's not in my.
Train your president and vice
I don't
president
like to raise my voice.
Mr. Mitra, one minute, sir. Seshadri Chari has a point to make. He's looking at me very intently, trying to make this point. I'm feeling embarrassed.
I'm only trying to get out of this tutu my thing. It's not the question of that. But what I'm trying to say is, whatever statements that politicians make during elections, this gives a very, very marginal advantage to the other party, other person, other candidate, to some extent, provided they are able to make use of it. All that we see in the Twitter and Facebook and all that doesn't really percolate down to the grassroots level, unless the leadership is able to make that kind of an impact. If you see the percentage of votes in the cities, and if the voting percentage in the city is less, it only affects the ruling party.
Okay.
Wherever it is, whether it is Tamil Nadu or Assam or Mumbai, we have seen all these things.
Literacy in education in Kerala is certainly not city centric.
That's true.
It is the most literate and the most educated state in the country. And it is a state that is politically extremely alive. And it is very small percentage changes that take place from one election to another. So even if Mr. Chari is right in saying it has affected only a small percentage, it could make a huge difference.
Okay, sir, I'm going to lose my DMK guest in a moment. We have to focus. We've got only about 20 odd minutes in this program left. Let's go across to Tamil Nadu. The latest numbers, 110 to the AIA DMK, 109 to the DMK, the BJP, 0. Others, 15. This has changed dramatically in the last 1 hour or so. I'm joined now by the spokesperson of the DMK, Mr. Manuraj Shunmugasundaram. Thank you very much for being with us. What is your reaction to what is coming in? These projections, 110 to the ADMK, 109 for the DMK.
Yeah, you know, we have to take exit polls for what they are worth. We can't sort of go by them blindly, but they do indicate a certain trend, and I do believe that there is a certain scientific basis for them. So without rubbishing them completely, what I would point out here for the sake of the larger argument is that exactly 2 years ago, Vishnu, the DMK scored a blank in Lok Sabha, and ADMK won 37 out of the 39 seats in the state. So from a position of roughly zero, if your exit poll, your poll of exit poll shows that we are neck and neck, that shows that there has been a surge in the popularity and support for the DMK party in the last 2 years. Now, like I said, this is just an indication. It just tells us which direction this is going. Final numbers will be out in a couple of days. We waited 5 years. 2 more days is not very long at all now.
2 days when you probably won't be getting any sleep at all. N.V. Shankaran, the senior journalist from Chennai, I'm sure you don't disagree with me on that. Did you, Mr. Shankaran, see this being this close? Because there was a sense that the DMK was in the middle of a bit of a surge, at least in the last little phase in these elections. And there was a sense that perhaps they would pull clear of Jayalalitha. But now it seems that, in fact, that may not necessarily be the case.
In fact, people like us have been looking at the poll in a different way. And this time we felt that both DMK and ADMK would be very close at each other's neck. But the real spoilers would be the third front.
Yeah.
And they are the ones who are going to spoil it for either DMK or ADMK in at least 30 to 70 constituencies. With about 15 to 20% votes for a third front, they are tilting the balance either in favor of DMK or ADMK in 60 to 70 constituencies.
So they are the kingmakers if this remains. Do you want to come in on this, Mr. Manishankar Iyer, the People's Welfare Front? Right, that's Captain Vijayakant's DMDK, yes. Anbumani Ramdas's PMK. It's 15, it's 15 for others at this stage. Those 15 are very important if it remains close.
That is, you see, the polarization of political opinion in Tamil Nadu, this is almost irreconcilable polarization, also seems to have affected your polling. Because only half an hour ago, you were giving the DMK 139, and you now pulled them down, because your averaging is from two polls that are giving absolutely opposite
indications. All I can say in our defense, Mr. Iyer, is that these are not our polls.
So therefore, I would like to refract your figures through the experience of having been in Tamil Nadu through the last few days of the election process.
And
it does seem to me that the earlier trends you were indicating were more in keeping with the situation on the ground. Because what has happened is that before the election process started, almost everybody gave the election hands down to Jayalalitha.
Yeah.
And therefore the trend is against her. And I can't believe that the trend which is
there's
going
obviously
so
one poll that's coming which has shown something dramatically opposite to what was being polled.
So therefore, I don't want to take your figures so much as the general situation that where 3 weeks ago I think anybody would have handed this election over to the AIADMK. 3 weeks later, the election process is so definitively reversing things that I can't...
I take your point. It's impossible almost to call Tamil Nadu the best of times.
I'll come to your rescue to some extent. I'll try. See, last time, I made this point earlier also. Last time, the AIADMK got 130 seats extra.
Yeah.
And the DMK lost 126.
Yeah.
The loss of DMK was the gain for AIADMK. But you look at the percentage. As far as the percentage is concerned, the AIADMK and Alliance got 51.9% as against the DMK for 39.5%. Now, where is the gap? You see this 10% swing. This is where the third front comes. The others who got zero seats but got 8.5% votes. Now, these others are neither with the DMK nor with the ADMK in 2011.
Yes.
But this time, even if 80% of these others go with the DMK, it becomes 48% as against 52% of the
ADMK. So the others are the kingmakers.
So the difference is only 4% swing and not 10% as we have always been saying for a few times.
Okay.
That means these others are going to make a difference. Number two, the most important factor here is the more the BJP does well in Kerala as well as Tamil Nadu.
But they are not projected to do well here at all.
I am talking about the percentage, not the seats, the percentage.
I am not talking about. Okay, I take that. Yes.
So the increase in the percentage of votes affects the ruling party. In Kerala, it affects the Congress. In Tamil Nadu, it affects the AIADMK.
You had a point to be.
Yeah, see, the thing is that the others in the Tamil Nadu election are not kingmakers because I don't think they are going to win large enough number of seats, quite frankly. But they are, in a way, you know, king destroyers, right? So by polling reasonably well, but not enough to win seats, they are altering the kind of neat arithmetic that we had gone into this election assuming would operate. So the ADMK, which seemed to have an advantage. Manu's right. I mean, Manu says how the DMK has surged compared to 2014. Right? So the trend is very clear. But why is that not translating into a clear victory for DMK? It could well be because of the so-called the third front. Polling, you know, in taking votes and in a way allowing the ADMK to win more seats than it might have won if the contest was more clearly bipolar.
It's also interesting that Tamil Nadu has never voted the same party back into power since 1984. So if the AIADMK were to win these elections, that would be a big reversal and a surprising one at that. But Manuraj, let me ask you this. Dr. Karunanidhi, of course, the senior leader, he's very elderly right now. He is very much the person who would take over as chief minister if the DMK were to come back to power. But what about the role of M.K. Stalin this time? The fact that he has made perhaps a bigger contribution politically to this election process for you than ever before.
Yeah, Vishnu, just before I answer that, you know, there are two things. No party has won two consecutive terms in the last 30 years, And also, Tamil Nadu has never gone for a hung assembly or a coalition government in the last 60. So really, you know, we have to keep historical factors in consideration when we average out a series of polls to get at this. So I really believe that whichever way, Tamil Nadu has always sort of gone decisively in favor of a party. But to answer your direct question, Kalangir Karunanidhi will be the chief minister if DMK is voted to power. He is 93 years young. Ultimately, he is the man who can deliver industrial growth development to the state. Now, Mr. M.K. Stalin has risen through the ranks of the DMK in the last 40 years. He is well placed to succeed Kalangir Karunanidhi in the years to come. He will play a very pivotal role. Let's keep in mind that M.K. Stalin was the deputy chief minister when we lost power in 2011. So we assume that he will come back into that sort of a role if we are voted back in and still run a lot of the important themed areas of governance such as industry, job growth, and development oriented ministry.
Well, let's see how that actually pans out. We don't have an AIADMK spokesperson on this program. We did try to invite them on. Mr. Shankaran, let me ask you this, and this is something the Election Commission actually took notice of. There were wild promises made by both political parties in their election manifestos of what they would give out to voters, from cell phones, free electricity, free water. The Election Commission said, how are you going to actually finance this? This was a question I believe was asked to the AIADMK. At the end of the day, do you believe that voters actually look beyond this?
No, voters are not bothered about where the money comes from. But it's a very reasonable question to ask. And the question was asked both to DMK and ADMK.
Right.
And both had filed the replies. And surprisingly, the Election Commission does not reveal the reply.
It doesn't reveal the reply.
It doesn't reveal the reply.
But just if I can just continue with this point for a bit, how crazy were these offers which were being made? Because we've also heard that quite besides physical things, in the past we've seen television sets, this time there were cell phones, free electricity bills. There was also a lot of complaints of cash being disbursed, that this was not as free and fair an election process as it should have been.
Now, definitely this time the election, the cash was a very important issue. Nearly more than 100 crores were seized throughout Tamil Nadu, and at least in two constituencies historically for the first time, the elections have been postponed in Tanjavur and Aravakurichi.
It's changed
because
the
candidates were distributing
me,
money.
Okay, all right. Mr. Iyer, it seems that, again, it's gone back in your favor.
Let me give in.
105 to 117 to the DMK plus, 105 to the ADMK. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that you yourself pointed out from 84 onwards,
yeah,
the ruling party is always defeated.
Yes.
Now, obviously, the ruling party has more resources than the opposition party. So what happens is that Tamil takes the money and then votes according to his volition. So I just don't see any evidence from Tamil Nadu that the distribution of money is determining the outcome of the election.
Mr. Shankaran, let me come back to you. It's now gone back to 117 to 105. Obviously, there's another poll that's come in. In fact, let me go across to Manu Raj one more time. 117 for the DMK plus to 105. So that's quite sizable. Again, is this more in line with what you expected, or do you still think it's going to narrow down substantially?
Look,
you can't actually say
think,
it's going to narrow down, right? You'll get
I'm
in
here
trouble.
As a party spokesperson, but you know, these are exit polls, and they come with very restricted samples, and there are scientific issues with them. But, you know, my point is still the same, Vishnu. There is a surge. What we have to look for is the trend. You know, which way is the pendulum swinging? And this is a state which has swung from one corner to the other every 5 years. So we feel confident that this is the pendulum is swinging our way. It's going to be a favorable result in 2 days. But what the final number will be, I cannot give you a straight answer for that. Sorry.
All right. We're going to move on right now. I'm just going to repeat this once again. If someone can just tell me about, okay, it's about the Tamil Nadu situation. It's 117. Yeah, all right. So 117 to the DMK, 105 to the AIADMK. The BJP is still zero, it shows, according to this poll of polls. Others, very significantly, 12. What role will the others play? Can they play a role potentially? We'll know this. Remember, results coming out on the 19th in a few days from now. Let's finally turn our attention to West Bengal at this stage. We've got a couple of, we're still waiting for Puducherry. We'll come up to Puducherry after that. But West Bengal, 294 seats total. Let's see what the poll of polls shows. 179 for the TMC, the left and the Congress, 109, the BJP 3, others 3. Chandan Mitra, BJP just 3. You'd expect it to do more than this. Yes, it's considerably better than where you were placed the last time around. But had you not hoped that you'd make more of a mark?
Well, yes and no. I would say yes and no, because in the last Lok Sabha election, the BJP polled 17.6% of the total votes in the state. It was an incredible number. We had never done anything like this.
Okay, Derek O'Brien joins us.
The corporation elections came around.
Yes. Mr. Mitra, just one sec. I've got Derek O'Brien on the phone line, and I'll just come back to you in a moment. Derek, your first reactions, if these are correct, Trinamool 179, the left in the Congress 109, the BJP 3. Is this along the lines of what you had expected?
See, Vishnu, what was on offer for the people of Bengal was that 4.5 years of development, communal peace, harmony, a lot of things that started moving after 34 years of despondency. So that was the Trinamool offered the people of Bengal this choice, this alternative. The other alternative was this Congress and CPM patchwork, unholy, unethical, ideology-less alliance. And the third option was the BJP. So we also had to fight very hard a slander campaign run by a large media house in Bengal. So I don't want to comment on exit polls. I'm sure the cephologists have done their job. We've done our job for 4.5 years. We'd rather wait till Thursday, only 3 days to go. But we do believe, as we've been saying, this is not a time for big talk. People of Bengal they're very intelligent. They would have seen all the options. And we believe that they will bless Mamatadi abundantly. The bigger political question here is that we were running a government in Bengal independently without any alliance for the last three and a half of the four and a half years. Because as you remember, in 2011,
yes,
we had the Congress as the alliance partner. So this time the Congress and the Communists got together. And we already have an alliance with the people of Bengal, and that's why we were so confident.
Okay,
I don't think this is the time to indulge in any big talk, Vishnu.
Okay, no big talk.
Thursday.
Mr. Basu, the Narada sting, the Sharada scam, images of leaders with cash or caught on tape, it's not had any impact at all, it seems, if these numbers
are correct.
I think
if I had known, actually, you were discussing this poll of polls and sum total of exit polls, I would not have attended. Because I don't believe that, you see, exit polls. I was just going through the Bihar exit polls by different poll panels, and everybody predicted.
We don't believe it either.
Yeah. So therefore, it's very difficult for me if you say that these numbers are a priori assumption on which I have to limit myself.
Yeah.
My point is very, very clear. And we are very, very clear that definitely TMC is not going to return to the government, because generally what is being projected by TMC and also sections of the media that this is an ideology-driven alliance. It is not so. It is a people's alliance. It has been built by the people at the grassroots, and political parties have recognized that.
Yep.
And you see, and I will give you one more point why exit polls cannot get it right in Bengal, because the major issue was fear. The major issue was absence of rule of law, and major issue was lack of democracy. Therefore, you don't expect people to give you the truth when you interview them for an exit poll.
Just sticking to the point of exit polls, Mr. Chari, I was asking you this question. I'll just read out what 4 or 5 polls have to say. They're all over the place, actually.
And one more point. Out of all the polls that they were projecting, one particular poll, which was showing, I think, 235 for
243.
TMC, 243 for TMC, That has produced the law of averages.
What you feel is
the law of averages in exit polls.
So
also.
News Nation had the Trinamool at 153. NewsX had the Trinamool at 173. The C Voter Times Now had them at 167. ABP Aranda had them at 178, and India Today had them at 243. So his argument that you know things might be skewed. Let's see what happens.
I am not commenting on the figures, but you believe that this one absurdity of the law of averages in this.
It's a very valid argument that we cannot really base our arguments and make an analysis on the basis of exit polls, the two at a time, when these exit polls themselves are at a very varying distance from one another. Fine. That argument is well taken. But as far as your question about corruption and Sharda scam and other things are concerned, It's a general matter for not only just these political parties, but for the civil society and others also to look into. If you say corruption should have had an effect, it should have had a tremendous effect on the voters of Tamil Nadu, where they have been alternating between one party and the other party. It's not that the corruption has affected this voter turnout for these political parties in Tamil Nadu in these elections. Similarly, as far as grassroots level camaraderie and ideological friendship is concerned, we all know what is the ideological friendship between the CPM and the Congress, and how a person like Siddharth Shankar Rai had to really run away from that state because of the violence that was perpetrated on the Congress workers by the CPM. So I'm not going into all those details now, but what is more important is, I think it's better we wait on the 19th. And see,
no, we'll wait till the 19th.
If you go back to the pre-election rhetoric,
Mr. Mitra, I'll come to you in 10 seconds.
Purpose to ensure that people could come out and vote, and thanks to also some initiative by the Election Commission, people have voted, and we have no problem in being gracious. In actually accepting the verdict, whatever it may be.
If you go by what Mamata Banerjee has said about the syndicate, we know what, I mean, your channel has done a huge story on how the syndicates were operating in the CPM regime.
But I just wanted to ask Mr. Mitra one question. You know, in the case of Assam, you were discussing earlier on, you had a face like Mr. Sonowal. Over here, you had Chandra Bose taking on somebody as strong as Mamata Banerjee. Is the lack of a definitive BJP face in West Bengal, other than the face of the Prime Minister, which is still possibly your strongest asset, is that something that's potentially cost you these elections?
No, I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say so because BJP has to first build up its organizational base, which I'm afraid it has not been able to do as successfully as it should have. But certainly, a face is very important, and I do expect the BJP to now zero in on a face, and Mr. Chandra Bose, he's a very attractive person, and he's hopefully he will do very well in the elections. But I think the party needs somebody who is rooted in Bengal and has an ideological and intellectual capability to lead the party organization as well as lead a vision for the rejuvenation and renaissance of Bengal, which I'm afraid it probably has not been able to generate satisfactorily as yet.
Okay, we're going to quickly move on now. We've just got about 2 or 3 minutes left on the program. We need to turn our attention to Puducherry, 30 seats over here. According to this average that we've been, the poll of polls, the DMK at 16, the NRC at 10, the AIA DMK at 3, others at 1. The DMK tends to follow, Puducherry tends to follow what's happening in Tamil Nadu quite closely. Is there any surprise over here at all?
Not really. I mean, the thing is that Chief Minister Rangasamy fought the last election in alliance with the ADMK. This time he was fighting by himself. Three-cornered contest. It doesn't surprise me that that even if we set aside the commonality of trends between Pondicherry and Tamil Nadu, the arithmetic was stacked against the NRC Congress. And I think that the DMK Congress alliance in Puducherry had the upper hand, and the exit poll seems to suggest that.
Is it the same cult
you
factor?
See, there's a big difference. In Tamil Nadu, the AIADMK is in the running. In Puducherry, it just is zero. What are next is, to nothing.
But typically, in broadly speaking, the politics of cult, which dominate politics in Tamil Nadu so much, is it also a factor in Puducherry?
I don't know that they've produced any great film actor. And until you first do that, I don't think you get a cult.
No, Puducherry is a very different...
But the CM has a party named after himself.
Yeah, so that's Puducherry is probably the only state where the political ruling party is named after the chief minister. Yeah. And I mean, he has no prodigy, so probably after him the party won't exist.
Right. Also, it's a very diverse state because part of it is adjacent to Andhra Pradesh, yeah, and part of it to Kerala, and part of it to one part of Tamil Nadu, and part of it to as adjoining my constituency in in Karaikal. So there's a kind of splinter, but it's clear from your poll that the DMK plus is way ahead. And that the ADMK is way behind. And so there is, for once, no real comparison between Tamil Nadu and Puducherry.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us. The 19th are when the results come out. It's a fascinating result in these five states. There'll be a lot more analysis coming up in the next little while. Do stay tuned. Thank you.